Warning, the following podcast contains spoilers and swears.
Hello there.
Welcome to Fillory and Father.
What is it?
A podcast about the magicians and magicians-related things.
And who are you?
I'm Evelyn Rogers.
And I'm your father, Scott Rogers.
Yes.
All right, what are we talking about today?
Today, we're talking about Season 1, Episode 9 of The Magicians, The Writing Room. And before we begin, I'd like to say a huge trigger warning for child sexual assault, mentions of rape, and bodily harm and violence.
I wasn't going to mention any of those things. They're far too unpleasant.
Okay, well, it's good to know before you go in. Oh, and a trigger warning for suicide.
Yes.
As well. So,
and
yeah.
Ghosts.
And ghosts.
Because we are getting close to Halloween.
It is October.
It's Halloween month.
It's Halloween second.
Happy second Halloween.
Happy second Halloween. Well, the episode begins actually with Julia voiceover. It's the apology letter that she wrote to Quentin.
That she got scolded by Marina for writing.
She did. And it's overlaid some footage of Quentin hanging out with Alice in their dorm room together. And he's reading the letter. And she talks about how she's sorry, but also that Quentin fucked up too. And that she does blame him for
sure.
It. And she's going to keep hating him. And she's working on forgiving him, but right now,
yes. And then Quentin writes back
he's glad that she's okay.
Yeah.
And
he's sorry too.
And he's sorry too.
And I'm glad that they apologize to each other. You know, I mean, friends sometimes have problems and they get mad at each other. And
I don't think friends should put friends into comas of their worst nightmares.
No, or should they should
or deny them
cut them
magic,
off
Yale.
From magic, but. But, one, if that happens to you in your relationship, you should at least try to get over it, particularly if that friend is a good friend.
Work it out. Yeah.
Work it out.
They're besties, and they are trying to repair that relationship from far away. And we get to see Richard talking with Julia after we get that.
I still don't trust Richard. There's something about Richard I don't trust.
It's his vibes. They're off.
I know. Everybody, every magician
vibes.
Has bad vibes.
Yeah, but Richard says that, you know, Julia has to essentially engage in penance to make up for, you know, the kind of bad magic that she's done and, you know, move forward to, I guess, bigger, better magic.
Okay.
You know.
She's got to graduate Hedgewitch School.
Yeah, basically. And then we see Alice and Quentin, they're, hanging out in bed, and Quentin gets out of bed, and he's thinking about the Fillory manuscript, the magician's, the
that
book
he lost.
Six that he lost, and he's talking about how Fillory has always decided when to let the Chatwins in and out, but, what if they found a way to get there themselves?
Right.
And he's like, the answer was with the book, and but he doesn't know where the manuscript is. And so Alice is like, well, what do you do when you lose things? And so
They
look for it, and they do some cool magic.
Yeah,
they
actually,
have,
this
fire
is,
in a little
Yeah,
little
I'm
bowl.
Gonna, I'll describe this.
Yes.
So they have a bowl of fire, uh-huh. And when you're too far away from the thing you're looking for, the flame turns blue. And then when you get close and find the thing you're looking for, it turns red. And then if the person or the thing is found and admits it then
out.
The flame goes out by itself.
Yeah,
this is actually one of the
it's
cooler.
Really cool.
And once again, when the show does magic,
mm-hmm.
It's always fun.
Yeah.
Right? This is one of the more fun magic things they've done so far.
Yeah, but they follow it. It's kind of similar actually to that match spell that they were doing much earlier on in the season when they were looking for where Charlie was.
Oh, right.
You know, but it's a different kind of, because they're finding someone who's, they're finding an object, not a person.
Right. So I guess you need a bigger fire for an
object.
Yeah,
I guess.
All right.
Yeah, but
so they find Penny. Yes.
He's smoking in the lab.
He is.
Lounging, looking wonderful, hanging out. And
he's
they're
super belligerent.
Quentin's like, Penny, I know that you took it. And he puts the fire in Penny's face, and Penny's like, no, I didn't. And he puts it in front of him. He's like, geez, God, fine, I did. And the fire goes out.
Yes, he admitted that he had taken it.
And Penny admits that he, quote, took the stupid thing and read it and then spilled beer on it, and then threw it away, and then got another beer.
Yeah, so Penny is still an antagonist.
He's not an antagonist.
He is, because he's standing in the way of what the hero wants, he's and that's an the antagonist. Traditional terminology he's for just an antagonist.
A dick.
Well, he's still he's also an antagonist. I wasn't going to use that word, but yes, he is also one of those things.
Oh, I wrote down some funny quotes, because Penny said to Quentin, I need to punch you in the throat. Just made me laugh.
So, you know, I also had a realization, and that is the relationship. So Quentin's like, tell me about the book, and Penny gives him like a synopsis of the book.
We need to describe the synopsis.
Oh my god.
No,
really?
I need to. All because right. This is important plot information.
Is it?
Yes. Penny summarizes what he read, and that Jane wrote book 6, not Christopher Plover. And that Jane and Martin were going to Fillory, but Fillory kept forgetting Martin / like leaving him behind.
No, that was Jane's fault. We saw that later on.
So Jane went to find a questing beast in order to find a way for Martin to come to Fillory whenever he could. And so we get this lovely little scene of Penny trying to remember which questing beast it is. And at first you get a dog in a little rough, and then you get a pig in a little rough, and then you get a ferret in a little rough.
And I have to say, I have to say they are all three of the animals are adorable.
They are.
The dog
so
is
good.
Adorable. He looks like Sir Didymus.
Yes,
the pig
it's
is
so good.
Adorable. He
Babe.
Looks like Babe.
Yes.
And the ferret is the cutest of them all.
I know, it's so good.
And then he talks.
Yeah, they talk with a little man voice.
Yes.
And they make a button for Jane to take back to get to Fillory whenever she wants.
Magic button. That's
magic
like your
button.
The story your mom used to tell you.
It is.
About the magic
button.
Now, do you
it
think...
wasn't a button. It was like a push button.
It was a push button. It wasn't a button.
Yeah.
Like a button on your jacket.
No, like a button, like a button.
Yeah, Evelyn's mom used to tell stories. She would write those stories down.
Well, she hasn't.
She hasn't, I know. But essentially,
she'll
Evelyn...
beat you to it if you don't.
Evelyn and her brother used to press press magic buttons, and then they would go on adventures.
Yeah.
And then it'd always end up back home.
In our condo.
And would you forget where the button was, or...?
No, it was a button in a wall.
Oh, okay.
Remember?
It was always in the same place?
Yeah, on the landing.
I thought it moved around.
No, on the landing by the bookshelf.
Okay, well, that sounds like a good idea for a book.
You don't steal our idea.
don't steal the idea.
Copyright.
Maybe one day we'll write it. All right, hey, wait a second. Now, I want to say something about this scene.
Yes.
Because Penny is, like, mocking Quentin for his enthusiasm about Fillory and the Fillory books and the content of the 6th book.
Yep.
And I've made a realization that Penny and Q... are like you and me on this podcast.
So,
and I don't like being Penny.
I'm Quentin. I win.
Well, you're Quentin. You're the big nerd about Fillory.
Yeah.
And I'm Penny, kind of a curmudgeon. And I don't like that. So I'm going to try.
You don't like being Penny?
No.
How dare you? But
Penny's
Arjun
the bad
Gupta,
guy. I don't want to be the bad
but
guy.
Arjun Gupta is a sunshine man.
He is a good actor. And
he's
good at playing
man.
A dick.
Penny is wonderful. He's got a big heart. And
that's great. But I've never seen him in anything else. So I have no idea what he's like in other roles.
He's in Nurse Jackie.
I didn't see Nurse Jackie.
Well, that's
this
a failure
is not a Nurse
you.
Jackie podcast. to quote somebody.
But Quentin starts getting really excited about the fact that there's a button, and he's like, oh my god, the message boards were going insane because they're in the 5th book, Martin is tearing up the house looking for the button, but he never finds it, and it's all they say in the book is that it's a magic button.
Yes.
And they're like, well, you know what we could do is go to Plover's house. The button is probably still there.
If it's real.
If it's real. And Penny travels away, and they're like, Penny, come with us. And then he's already gone. And Gordon's like, oh, dick. This is funny. And then we see the cottage, and Quentin and Alice are there, and they're talking about how they have to get a flight to England. And Elliot is hanging out with this dude named Raymond. He gets the name of Ronald. His name's Raymond. And
why did you say Ronald?
That's what he calls him at first, but it's the wrong name.
That's not Todd.
No,
it's Todd
it's
too.
Not, Elliot would never willingly fuck Todd.
Oh, is that who he? I didn't catch that they were having sex.
They weren't. They were just hanging out. But he immediately afterwards talks about how Raymond gives okay head.
Oh, TMG.
J.
Whatever. T. What is TMG?
TMZ.
TMZ. Yeah. The movie channel TMC.
Oh my god.
All right. Anyway.
But Elliot says, "Oh no, we have a portal to our Margot and I have a portal to our favorite pub in England. You guys can just use that to get there as long as you take me."
Right. I wish I had a portal to England because it's a long flight. I used to go a lot to England. And B...
Humble brag.
Well, sorry. I was working in a good job that flew me to England. Yeah. What am I going to say? And B, I love London. I don't know what part of England their pub goes to, but I'm sure there's a good train system, or you could get a cab, I guess.
Never been.
London is a wonderful city. If you ever get a chance to go to London, I highly recommend it.
Well, we cut to Julia and Richard, and Richard has brought Julia to this woman named Kira, who is...
quadriplegic?
I don't know the term. I was
paralyzed. I guess,
yeah. She is paralyzed. And so Richard has brought Julia in order to essentially use the sort of the same spell that she used on Quentin to like mess him up, but in order to communicate with Kira since she can't outwardly speak.
Right.
And so Julia kind of inceptions into Kira's brain using magic with Richard. And she ends up in a coffin.
Yeah, I totally didn't remember this coffin scene the first time I saw it.
Yeah.
I was like, wait, what is this? This like a zoom into her eyeball and then it's black and there's,
yeah.
it was very stylish, decision.
Yeah, lots of fun, like
directorial stuff in it.
Episode.
Yeah. And then, yeah, then
Julia, like,
then we get a nice side view of Julia in a coffin, kind of like,
yeah. I love what's
that movie where the girl gets buried or the guy gets buried in a coffin, his girl gets kidnapped. What's it? They made it twice. It was like a Dutch film.
I don't know what you're talking about.
It's called like the... It had Ben Affleck in it, right? Wasn't Ben Affleck in it?
Do you think I've seen that film?
You like horror films.
Do you think I've watched that film?
I know. It's very disturbing. I don't like real horror films. Like, I like monster movies, but I don't like serial killer murder movies. Mm-hmm. Like where people get locked into coffins.
Yeah, well, whatever that movie is, it sure happened.
I forget. It was like The Disappearance. That's what it's called.
Okay.
And then there's like a shot in that movie
where... It's not a Disappearance podcast.
No, it's not. But the shot was clearly inspired by that scene. Clearly, yeah. I mean, there is no other way to do that shot.
Yeah,
so they,
I mean, it's a coffin.
Like what? Okay, find me another scene from another movie.
I'm not going to.
Go, there's a whole YouTubes, and you can go onto the YouTubes and look for... side view coffin shots in movies. And I'll bet somebody somewhere has made a compilation of all three.
I'm sure.
All right.
But she, like, makes a little mini fire in her hand, and could kind of tell that it was a practical effect, which I really liked.
Yeah, it's cool.
It's like a little flashlight or something, a little light bulb or something. And she lights the coffin on fire, and it breaks her out, and she emerges in a park. And she's like, hey, what the fuck was that? And she's like, and Kira is there. And she's like, sorry, I had to test you. Make sure you, like, had your chops or whatever. And Julia's like, oh, my God, what is it with magicians and tests?
Oh, wait, so Kira's a magician?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't even get that.
Oh, my God. That's literally what... So Julia...
I thought she just
inside...
had really good psychic defenses.
Julia went into Kira's brain to talk to her because she had finished a magical equation.
So
Julia has come to write down the remainder of that equation that Kira solved in her mind.
Gotcha.
Before her body, like,
I
broke
missed that
down.
Part. Like I said, I didn't remember this part from before.
Yeah. But, so Julia gets a pen and paper and they start writing down that equation, starting with, like, Popper 49 or something.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's not a test. You don't need to know which popper it is.
Well, I didn't write it down, so I'm just trying to remember it. But then we cut to England. It's the Plover
House.
Wait
a second. I want to ask you something.
Yes.
So, they're magician mathematicians.
Well, magic is math in this universe.
Right. So,
which is, once again...
mathematicians?
Oh, God.
You know a book has mathematicians in it, right?
What book, Dad?
The best book ever written.
What book, Dad?
The Phantom Tollbooth. Okay. Have you ever read that book?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, it's a good book, right?
It is a good book.
There's mathematicians. Do you think that the author of The Magicians was... first of all, is this in the book? This whole math equation thing?
No, Dad.
Again, another thing not
this
in the book?
This is an adaptation.
Fan fiction.
As Mom said to me, yes, this TV show is basically fan fiction of The Magicians and taking elements from it, but
well,
it's not.
Because now that I'm starting
adaptation.
To read the book...
Don't.
Well, I'm priming our audience for the eventual episode.
Dad is reading the book. Oh,
yes,
guys.
I'm reading the book, and eventually we will get to the end of the book, or I will get to the end of the book, and then we will do an episode on the book.
And I will
the
speed
first
read
book.
It in a day.
Yeah, I know you are. You're faster reader than I am. My brain has gotten very slow in my old age.
You're not old.
All right, that's true. Thank you.
Oh my God.
All right, so Quentin goes to the Plover House.
Yes, and
that guide
drinking from
the
flask.
Hang on a second. That guide reminds me of Stephen Merchant. Do you know who Stephen Merchant is?
Say for the audience.
Stephen Merchant is an excellent British actor who is in things like, he was in The Good Place. He was the accountant.
Oh.
And he was in Extras, and he's in a lot of other great things. And he's always very tall, and he's very hilarious. And this guy looked very much like Stephen Merchant to me.
He reminded me of the guy that...
Similar delivery, too.
No, I'm going to make it... That's so vague. I'm not even going
to
make
it. Oh, come on. There's no reference too vague for Fillory and Father
podcast. The guy that voice... I forget his name. The guy that voices Fix It Felix that was in 30 Rock, he looked like him.
Oh, you mean
whatever his name. Is.
That's not a.
He sounded like him. He looked like him.
Yeah. What is that guy's name?
Don't I can totally Google it. See him. No, yes, we don't have to have knowledge. We have,
all right.
We
don't well, have to have go knowledge. In and reply to this podcast. Give us proof that somebody is out there listening. Anybody? We have no idea. We're just speaking into the ether.
It's that guy. You know.
It's that guy. It's that guy. Yeah, that guy from 30 Rock. Yeah. We know who he is. The guy who was the page.
Yeah, that
and
guy.
And he was also in...
Wreck-It Ralph.
Wreck-It Ralph. But he was also in like another movie.
No, we don't need to talk about
that. Oh, he's in...
we don't need to talk about
this.
No,
he's in the Kimmy Schmidt Choose Your Own Adventure. He's a guard.
We don't need to talk about this anymore. Right. They take a tour of the Plover House and Quentin is going around taking pictures of his little digital camera.
I love how thrilled Quentin is.
He takes a selfie with his digital camera. It's so good. And he corrects the tour guide, which, can I just say...
You would totally do.
I would do.
Yes.
If only you had taken me with you to London when you guys went to go.
Well, what would you go? All right, what would you go want to go see in London?
The pub where Tolkien and the Inklings.
Yeah, I didn't go to that one. Work. What else? What else would that's you want to see? That's it. Just that pub. You don't want to go to Tolkien's house.
Well, I mean, I'm pretty sure that's like closed.
So you know where I went, but I didn't get to go into it. I went to J.M. Barrie's house, which is kind of like going to Christopher Plover's house.
In very many ways.
Yes, nothing's been proved, but yes, it's very similar types of character.
But yeah, they go and look around and stuff, and Quentin quotes along with the tour guide.
It's adorable.
There is no substitute for a childhood of adventure, warmth, and love. And Penny looks at him and says, "You will never be a man."
Aww. Once again, so Penny funny. Is just a bad guy.
And then we cut to it's nighttime, and Elliot like cuts out. He breaks like the security camera, and they break into the
hang on a second. House. Yeah, they go into the house and they go into the study.
Quentin goes. They go into the writing room.
And here's something that I would have done if I were in their shoes, and that is this. So Quentin sits behind, sits in the actual Plover chair in front of the Plover typewriter. And he fails at one thing.
To type a little.
No, well, he should have typed a little something, sure. But no, he should have had Alice take his picture behind the desk. Because here's the thing: if you ever get an opportunity, all right, I'm gonna humble brag here, twice in one episode.
Oh, Lord.
When I worked for Disney,
and
I worked for Imagineering,
I
actually got to go into the Haunted Mansion.
I know you have lots of pictures of it.
And I took a picture of myself sitting at the organ in the ballroom.
I've never seen that one.
Oh, I'll show that one to you.
I've seen you behind the bars in the Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah, that's a pretty good one too.
Yeah.
But anyway, so yes, if you ever get an opportunity to do something like that, you have to take it because you never know if you're ever going to get that chance again.
I think Quentin would have regretted having that photo.
You know, though, but then years later, he would have looked at it.
Spiked the audio.
All right. You don't need to comment on the spikes. That's getting cut out. You know, if you get an opportunity to do something like that, I suggest you take it because you never know if it's going to happen again.
Well,
that's advice for everybody out there.
I would like to mention that. Quentin sits at the desk and he like feels the wood.
Yes.
And he's looking at the papers on it. He says, "Well, this desk saved my life." And he tells Alice, he was 16 the first time he got hospitalized. And he tells her that his brain breaks sometimes.
16. That's pretty old to start reading those books.
I thought you were going to say something completely different.
No, what would I say?
I don't even know.
All right. Yes. Well, anyway, Quentin says that he was sick.
Old, though. It's like he
16, read them, though. I thought he read them when he was like 11.
No, he read them earlier because, never mind, I can't spoil. He read them earlier.
He said his dad brought them to him when he was in the hospital.
Yeah, that doesn't mean, that means that he like was reading them when, he can have read the books.
He didn't, also, it made it sound like it was the first time he read them.
Like I read,
that's why I was like, dad, 16
dad,
is too
like,
old.
I read the, like you read The Hobbit to me when I was like 8 or whatever.
No, it was like but, 7 or 6.
Yeah, but like I also read them when I was like 11 when you had cancer. And that's when I like latched onto them.
Right.
So it's the same kind of thing, you know?
I guess. Okay. I get it. I get it. The love of something through trauma.
Yeah. Woo. We love it. Alice asks Quentin, is your brain still broken? And Quentin says, well, yeah, but I've gotten basically better at functioning.
That's a good analogy, I think. Yeah.
And then we see Elliot breaking into a safe and doing some cool magic stuff with his hands, and you see the little safe thing move. And
yeah, I saw that's pretty good. Like, yeah. Elliot is like a skilled safe cracker.
It's so good. Where did he learn it from? Probably Margot. What a queen. But they take out.
Yeah, another episode. These episodes have been very
Summer Bishop. Yeah, and we Margot-less. Are starved. Starved.
This is like
for
the
Margot
third
content.
Episode. Maybe Where she was making Margot? A movie.
Where
you should check.
Is Margot?
You should go and find out what year these episodes were shot, and then go see if there are any movies.
2014, probably.
Okay, so then look and see, was there any movie that she was in? Because maybe she was shooting the movie while they were shooting this
Living
show.
Living the High Life.
Maybe.
In Pasadena or whatever.
Is that where she lives?
I don't know.
That's not too far from us.
I don't know.
We should go and visit her.
And it's her talking to lawyers, telling them that Christopher Plover went missing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
mystery.
Yeah, and then they're looking at his bookshelf, and they find, like, Popper.
Lots of magic books.
Lots of magic books and traveler books as well. And so maybe Plover traveled to Fillory
or he
was learning magic. And then we see a spooky little person pass on by the camera, and you're like, ooh, what's that? And then Elliot offers his endless flask to Penny, and it makes me sad.
That's pretty funny.
Pretty funny, but it makes me sad.
So
and then the tour guide shows up.
Yeah, he busts.
And he's
busts
like, what are you guys doing here? You can't be here. It's not safe at night. And they're like, and Elliot's like, is this a problem that can be solved with money? And the guy's like, no. And he's like, okay. Does a little fun hand thing. And he goes, I'm a super villain.
Yeah, that made me laugh.
So now talk. And Penny makes like the best expression in the background. He's like watching him and he's like so amused. It's great.
Yeah, it's great.
Penny Royal Nation makes some noise. But then a ghost shows up. It's Prudence. And she
we don't know who it is.
Well, yeah. It's the back of her body.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's just a ghost.
She travels the tour guide away and they're like, oh, well, we got to get the fuck out of here. And as they're leaving, they find the tour guide dead on the stairs. His throat is cut and his lips are sewn shut.
Yeah, that's some fast sewing. Now, who can sew lips that fast?
Well, she's a ghost. So
right.
I don't think
so.
Time
was it time traveling or was that?
I think because she's a ghost, she can do
I mean, you could like cut somebody's
wants.
Throat pretty fast, I guess. I don't know. I've never throw a cut. I'm just guessing.
Do you have to tell me something,
well,
Dad?
Yeah, you know, my former life. Why do you think I was going to London all those times?
Sweeney Todd.
That's my other favorite place to visit. I sat in his chair. No, I'm kidding.
No.
Anyway,
be here if you sat in his chair.
Yeah. So yeah. So it's
Penny and
they kill poor Stephen Merchant.
Whatever his name is. The poor. Poor cast member.
Yes, the
cast member.
Just another
actor.
Like an actor for
poor
that episode.
He had his limelight.
Hey, he knew he was going to get killed. It's in the script.
Yeah, he had fun.
Yeah, he was living his best actor life until he got killed.
Hashtag actors.
He got to even do He even got to do makeup.
Yeah,
right?
But
it's a full day.
Quentin and Penny like run out of the room, but they run out of the house. But then Elliot and Alice are stuck inside, so they have to go back in. And then we cut to
Julia
and Kira again. Yes. They're in the brain zone, and Julia is writing down stuff, and Kira is talking about how, you know, maybe you have magic naturally, and maybe you don't, but, like, why waste it?
Right.
You know? And she talks about how this place where she is, she's in the park, and, This is her like favorite memory because it's like the day
it's her
that
happy
she spent.
Place.
It, yeah, it's her happy place, and she's spending. It was the day that she spent with her girlfriend and like hanging out and just having a great time. And this made me mad because I knew what was gonna happen.
What made you mad?
That Kira is sapphic.
Oh, and you know that sapphic characters get killed all the time.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a shitty fucking trope.
All right. Well.
Pisses me off.
Yeah, I know. Bad choice. But you know, I mean, well, would you have been upset if she wasn't sapphic? Because don't you feel at least that there's some representation?
I'd still be upset
right.
that she died, but it's shittier.
Well.
It's shittier.
Okay, all right. I'm not going to argue that one.
Kira says, well, show me your happy place, Julia. And Julia takes Kira to underneath this table in her childhood home. She said, I used to hang out with my best friend, Quentin, all the time when we were little and pretend we were going to go to Fillory. And underneath the table is a map of Fillory that looks like the one from the books, but like a kid's version of it.
Yeah, I really
like it. It's just so good that she like touches it a little and you can see a little unicorn. There's a crocodile in the top corner.
I like that. It's so good. Whoever did the art for that. Like, drawing, like, okay, if it was a kid...
Drawing like a kid is hard.
Yeah, drawing like a kid is really hard. If you're a kid who drew it, you did a really good job. Mm-hmm. If you're an adult who did it, you did a really good job because it looked like a kid drew it.
Yeah, and Kira says to Julia, never forget this. This is the secret of how to be you.
This is your happy spot.
I know, it's just, And then...
Well, I mean, it's...
It's so good.
Yeah, it is and good, it's also
too, because you poignant. Know that... Julia and Quentin are trying to repair that relationship, but maybe, they're still at
maybe
at
they
end,
need
at
to
odds with each
go
other.
Under the table together.
Maybe they will, Dad, and that's a future shot in an episode.
Okay,
that
I must have missed that.
It's not yet.
All right. Anyway,
it's later. It's all like right. in the
spoilers.
Finale. It's like in the finale. But then we cut to some child noises, and
they're looking around trying to find it.
It's Penny and Quentin looking for Alice and Elliot, and they go into an empty room, and a little ball like rolls up, and. They grab it, and then there's like a little music box ballerina that plays. And Quentin's
tropes.
Like, "We get it. This is this house is full of ghosts. Like, what do you want from us?" And a spooky little boy shows up with ghost makeup.
So I have to say that creepy British boys are spooky. They're almost as spooky as creepy little British girls.
Well, good thing there's both of these.
Yes, I know. Well, let's see here. Look at my notes.
And there it is.
And there's the creepy British girl.
Yeah, and he says...
Well, not yet, though.
Not yet. And he says, I tag you, you're it. And they're like, well, I guess...
Yeah, you gotta play tag with the ghost kid, right?
Yeah, and then the lights change, and he's, like, suddenly youthful and, like, alive. And he's like, I tag you, you're it. And they're like, damn, guess we gotta follow him. And then it's cut to China dolls. China dolls. So many porcelain dolls. Let's fucking go. And Alice and Elliot are tied up in some chairs.
Yes.
And
they're having tea.
Having tea, and the little girl.
The creepy British girl.
Her name is Beatrix.
Yes.
And she's got the spooky makeup on, and she's
she
bringing
like
them
she's
little
barfed.
Snacks. And she, like, feeds Elliot a cookie.
Yes,
and he's
that
like,
was adorable.
Yeah, thank you very much. Very cool. And then the Prudence comes in, who is
the
sister of Plover.
Yes.
And she's like, oh, I'll take you to the quiet place.
So wait, didn't they say that the kids...
Made before the movie, The Quiet Place.
What's that? Oh, before The Quiet Place. All right. So let me ask you a question. The little kids...
Yes.
They're
the kids of the housekeeper.
Oh, okay. Well, wait, where's the housekeeper?
She's just not there.
Why did she murder the kids of the housekeeper?
Because they're being annoying.
Well, they weren't being that annoying. They were playing.
I know, but she's like.
The girl was playing quietly in her room.
Yeah, but like.
Yeah. So okay. Well, they're bad.
Yeah.
All right. The kids aren't.
Prudence spikes the tea.
No, she doesn't spike it. She poisons it.
It's not poison. It's
yeah,
like
it is poison because
like
that's
roofie.
What she gives the kid.
Oh, that's true. But
the kid,
Alice doesn't.
Alice drinks it and just passes out. She's
maybe
got
it's
a light
she's
dose.
A little, maybe because she's a little girl. It's like
yeah, maybe the dosage
worse.
Is not.
But Beatrix like shakes her head to Elliot when they get the tea.
Yeah,
and so Elliot dumps it right before.
How come Alice didn't see that?
Alice didn't see it because Alice has a big brain,
and
but also
why is
small
Alice,
brain
if
sometimes.
If you're tied up in a chair and somebody says, drink your tea. You know what I would do is I'd, like, kick that table over and just say, forget you.
But, like, their hands were tied up, they couldn't do magic, and there was a hostile ghost that could literally murder them.
You could do magic. That happens eventually.
A long pause. We just
no, Elliot, like, does magic and breaks the ropes eventually.
Yeah, but, like, that's after Prudence leaves the room.
How hard could it be to do a popper in a tied up?
Have you tried doing your little finger
things? I don't
things?
Know any... Well, yeah, I can wiggle my fingers around.
You can wiggle your fingers. But then we see Quentin and Penny and they're walking through the hallways and they see a bunch of like ghosts going through the house and, Quentin sees Plover and he's like, oh my God, it's like we're seeing into their pasts or something, like little moments. And Penny's like, yeah, dude.
Yeah, this is like what ghosts do.
This is what ghosts do. Did you not, like, Sunderland has a PhD in hauntings. Like her favorite thing about a haunted house is that you can see like things from the past.
Right.
And Quentin's like, oh, I didn't know that. And he's like, yeah, because you're an idiot.
Again, Penny, you could find a better way to say that.
It's fine.
No, he's a jerk.
It's fine.
No, he annoys me.
They nag each other. It's
he's
fine.
He's a dick.
Enemies to lovers. But then we see Jane and Martin Chatwin going up the stairs. And Quentin and Penny, like, they follow him, they follow them, and Jane goes into Fillory, and
all right, so Martin, for,
door closes.
Yeah, yeah, here's, hang on, hang
and
on.
It's a normal closet.
Yes, poor Martin. So here, here's
he
two
says,
things.
Why won't you take me?
Yes, he's very sad.
Leave me behind.
He wanted to go to Fillory. Yeah. So here's two things. One,
a terrible British accent.
Jane.
Yes.
Horrible person for not keeping the door
She's
open.
A little kid.
I don't care how impetuous She's she is as a little kid. It was very thoughtless of her. Secondly, let me ask you a question.
Yes.
Do you think that the whole Martin not being able to get into Fillory anymore is a analog for puberty?
I'm not going to answer that.
Why not?
Spoilers.
What do you mean spoilers?
Because you're reading.
We talk about spoilers all the
you're
time on this
the
show.
Books.
Oh, it's something in the book. Okay. Well, I think it's an analog for puberty.
You gotta wait.
Like, when you're a certain age, you're not all... It's like Peter Pan. It's like Neverland.
Yeah.
You can't go to Neverland when you're past a certain age.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you grew up too old and if you're a lost boy, you get fucking murdered.
That's right. Yeah, they kill you.
Fucking Peter Pan.
Then he forgets about you.
Little demon child.
I love Peter Pan. Peter Pan's a wonderful character. I went to visit him when I was in London.
Uh-huh.
I did. I went to Kensington Gardens and said hello to him.
We're just talking about London a lot, huh?
Well, this is a London-centric episode.
This is not a London podcast.
It is a Peter Pan podcast.
But Quentin gets, like, whooshed up by...
Penny gets owned by a ghost.
Penny gets owned by Prudence. He gets put in a chokehold. And then he wakes up in the quiet place, and there's convenient little blood handprints on the wall, which is like, how would they reach that way?
Yeah, it's pretty high for a little kid.
And Prudence threatens to sew his mouth shut, and he's like, yeah, fuck this. And then he travels out of there. And I know in the deleted scenes, he does in fact end up in a tree. It's very
does
funny.
He really? Oh, okay.
Yeah, but they didn't include it. It's very sad. But then we cut back to Elliot. He does a he manages to get his fingers working.
He can do magic.
And he breaks free, and he gets he wakes up Alice, and he breaks her out of, he ties her out of the ropes
unties
too.
Her.
Unties her. And then Alice is like, well, we have to help Beatrix too, but Beatrix sadly dies.
She vomits up her guts.
She vomits up her guts
and she does wonderful, good dead kid acting.
Yeah, it's really good.
It was good, actually.
And Alice is just like, freaked out by that.
And at this point, I made this realization.
This is a grim episode. It sure is. And Elliot says, well, I guess we know how she died.
Yeah. Poor Beatrix.
Yeah. And Alice says, like, well, we have to help them. And Elliot's like, we can't. This happened a long time ago. And Alice says, no, they keep reliving this all the time. You know, there's nothing they can do. And then we cut to Quentin. And he, is in a room and he hears some noises, so he looks down in like a little like vent thing, and he spies in on the writing room where Plover and Martin
and
Jane is, and she comes back from Fillory, and
Plover gives Jane some tea.
She actually says, "Well, Martin, I found that thing you asked me for," and so she and Martin leave the room, and she says, "Well, here's the button that can take you to Fillory whenever you want," and George, who is spying with Quentin, gets found out, and Martin gives the button to George for some fucking reason.
Well, what's even weirder is he goes,
hide this?
Yeah, so now
how is Martin going to fucking find it?
Oh, like, that was a bad plan.
Yeah, bad plan. And then we cut to Julia and Kira, and Kira says, hey, forget about that school. You know, if the world is after you, take it as a compliment. People can't handle, like, strong women like us. And, you know, and she's like, oh, yeah. I got one more favor, because Julia's like, oh, I could come back and we could, like, hang out. And Kira's like, yeah, I need you to kill me. And Julia's like, excuse me? And she's like, you gotta.
Yeah,
it's like that scene. It's like that scene in The Good Place where Janet's like, kill me, kill me, kill me.
All right.
Except
anyway,
much more grim and depressing.
This is not a Good Place episode.
Not a Good Place podcast.
I mean, podcast.
There is a Good Place podcast.
There is a good one. It's
that's
a good.
Our ad.
It's a good podcast. Oh, yeah, there's our ad. We forgot. I almost,
podcast.
You had me so wrapped up, I forgot to do an ad.
It's
no.
A good episode.
No, we have a
listen to The Good Place
podcast. No, we have an actual ad this episode.
No, we really.
Yeah, we do.
Technically not.
And no, and that ad is for the wonderful,
Peaches
amazing, fantastic animatic that you made on YouTube called what?
The Touchtone Telephone
yes.
Lemon Demon Magician's Animatic.
Yes, it is an excellent animatic that Evelyn animated all by themselves, and it looks gorgeous, and it even got the thumbs up from the magician's creator, Lev Grossman.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, he thought it was gorgeous and beautiful, and he's right. Thank you. You did a wonderful job. So there you go. There is our commercial for YouTube. So hopefully YouTube will send us lots of money.
No, they won't. And fund the
Filler and Father podcast.
Listen, I just got Lemon Demon Brain Worms that lasted 3 days.
It's a good song, too.
It is a good song.
What's the album that it's from?
Spirit Phone.
And who's the music person?
Neil Cicerega. Oh. I think that's how you pronounce it.
Okay. Well, you should check out that album. Actually, a lot of his albums are good. I've heard some songs from them.
I have played them.
What was the one that has Bustin' on it?
Mouth Moods.
Yes, Mouth Moods. That is a good album.
Yes.
All right. There's a commercial for this week.
That's a commercial. But then we cut back to Richard, and he's like, hey, what did you think redemption looks like? Because Julia is understandably very mad, and she did not ask to be complicit in someone's assisted suicide.
Yes. Yeah, and Richard is a dick. Richard just is like a dick. Every other magician.
He's pressuring her into do this thing she didn't want to do. And he says, hey, man, you're already in hell. You're already in hell, and so is she. You got to decide. And she's like, what do you want from me? And he's like, make the decision, whatever's hardest. Which is like... the worst. Yeah, it's the worst.
Julia does not, other than Quentin, Julia does not hang
Julia
out with...
Julia goes through the worst shit.
Well, she does not hang out with nice people.
And it's no fault of her own, really.
Well, it's just bad circumstances.
It's bad circumstances.
It's living in New York City, I guess. All right, anyway, so then we get some gross 19th century pedophilia.
19th, 20th.
20th century.
20th century.
Oh, you're right.
We see George and Quentin, and they're spying again in the writing room, and, it's Plover and Martin, and Jane gets drugged.
Yeah, horrible.
And she falls asleep, and...
and then Plover... Let's keep this brief. Yeah. We don't need to linger over the details.
Well, he talks about how he's very close to finding, like, wild magic, and he's like, aha, maybe I might have to grow, like, a 6-finger in order to do it. Right. Ooh, wouldn't that be fun?
Yes. Well, then we already know, see, the Beast have multiple fingers?
Yes, the Beast has multiple
fingers.
All right,
there we go. There's a clue. Could Plover be the Beast?
I mean, maybe.
Maybe. All right, so then he... essentially forces
he does some bad things.
Martin to strip and he takes photographs and supposedly and then, hides the photographs
and
in the dictionary.
And presumably does other bad things. Yeah, yeah. But then gross. George is like, oh, they
well, wait a second. This is not the best way for Quentin to learn about this stuff, right?
No shit.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it's, you know, it's one thing to like find out rumors about some author you like, but it's another thing to
J.M. Barrie.
But to watch, yes, but it's another to watch like a ghost movie of it happening.
It's very bad. But then George and Quentin get found out, and Prudence like grabs George and she's like, oh, you're spying on my brother and he's a good man. And she fucking slams George against the wall and he fucking dies. Bonk? Oh no.
Yes, poor George gets bonked.
He gets bonked.
And he's dead.
Oh, no.
Poor George is dead.
But then we cut to Elliot and Alice. And they've gotten out of the haunted house, and Quentin comes up with that. He gives Alice a hug.
He's infurious at Plover, and
he's so mad.
And this is what happens when you find out about your favorite author.
Yeah,
it happened to other people too.
J.K. Rowling,
J.M. Barrie.
Yeah. But Penny comes back. He's like, "Yeah, guys, I traveled into a fucking dream."
Well, what I love is
and Elliot gives him the flask.
Yeah, yeah. Elliot takes a shot and then gives him the flask. And I wrote here, Elliot, we all need a stiff drink after that, after being in a haunted house. But I have to say this. All right. I would watch an entire season of a show that is Elliot, Penny, Quentin, and Alice going to haunted houses.
What about Margo?
No, I mean, sorry, I love Margo, but just...
And Margo.
No, just live with my...
And Margo.
Just live with this image for a second. Of them going to haunted places and trying to solve haunted mysteries.
BuzzFeed Unsolved.
Right? Yeah, essentially BuzzFeed Unsolved or those ghost shows, but with magicians, right? Like, and with those characters. Think of how much fun.
Spin-off
what
guys.
If? Yeah, what if the entire magicians just at that point, just they said we were so traumatized by these little kids that we were trying to help and we couldn't help them, that instead we're just going to do this for the rest of the season. For the next 3 seasons,
well,
it's like them going to haunted asylums and haunted lighthouses and haunted amusement parks and like solve. It'd be kind of like Scooby-Doo, but there'd be no dog and there would be...
It'd be a sloth.
And they'd have no sloth. And they'd just have adventures, right? I would watch that show.
Only if Margo was also there.
I mean, I love Margo, but there was a nice dynamic in this group, I think.
Yeah.
So
it's a good episode.
We had if you have two crotchety people, it kinda outweighs the vibe.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Margo isn't crotchety.
Yes, she is.
How dare you? She's wonderful.
She is wonderful, but she's also a little crotchety.
No, she's not crotchety. She's a bitch, and she's great.
Oh, I don't use that word to describe
you're
women.
Not allowed to.
Well, all right. Anyway, not a nice word. all right. So, yes, Quentin I would watch says, give me, Magicians Ghostbusters.
Quentin says, give me 10 minutes.
Yes.
And guys, head for the rains of the storm cellar, which is where Penny came out of, because he was in the quiet place.
He was in the torture room.
And they get over there, and Prudence the ghost shows up, and Quentin's like, hey, I heard the nastiest rumor about your brother. And he has one of the gross pictures. And she tears it up, and he's like, ha. Good luck. I hid 48 others around the house.
Yeah.
Oh, God. And he's like, that'll keep her busy. And then it's Kira and Julia. And Kira's eating ice cream. What a way to go. And they share the ice cream. And it's very sad. And you can see, like, the edges of the world starting to black out, which yeah. I thought
that
was
good.
Really cool. It was very subtle at first.
Yeah, it was
really cool.
A good analogy.
Yeah. And then... Kira dies.
Yep.
And we cut back to Julia. She's out of the brain zone and she's crying and they have to leave because they assisted in a suicide and it's bad. And then we cut to them in the gang in the storm cellar.
The
Scooby gang in the storm cellar. And they find the dead child body and they dig it up.
And in
the pocket is the button.
Uh-oh, it was real.
Yeah, and Elliot's drinking.
He did a good job hiding it, though.
He hid it. hid
it in a place that nobody could find it.
Yeah, he sure
right?
did.
Yes.
But then they are leaving the haunted house and Alice is like, well, we have to go back and we have to help them. And we have to do something about this. And Elliot's like, well, there are spells to prevent this, not to reverse it. Yeah. Like, no one knows how. And she's like, well, it isn't fair. And Elliot says, well, life ain't fair. And thinking you can change anything, it's stupid. You just gotta suck it up. And this is Elliot really hurting from the previous episode where he had to fucking murder his boyfriend.
Yeah.
You know? And so, and also, may I point out, accent slip.
Whose accent slip?
His accent.
What do you mean?
Life ain't fair. The
no, he's
accent
oh,
slip.
I see. Right.
Yeah.
You mean the characters?
Character.
Yeah, yeah. I get. Yeah. I caught that.
It's upsetting.
And then, of course, as they're leaving,
the kids are in the window.
Yes, we get a sad shot of the two
it's
little kids
sad.
Staring. On, won't you help us?
Yeah. Rip.
But, yeah.
Literally.
So that's why I think they should do a whole another series.
Yeah.
Ghostbusting magicians.
Ghostbusting. But we cut back to the cottage and Elliot and Penny are drinking together, and Penny Royal Nation again makes some noise. And Quentin tries to comfort Alice, and he's like, "Are you okay?" And she's like, "I'm fine. Just kidding, I'm not."
Yeah.
And she's like,
"Everybody's
are you fine?"
traumatized.
And
by
he's
this.
Like, "Nah, man, I want to like wring Plover's neck."
Yeah.
And he's like, "Well, knowing that he might be the beast, that's just terrible too.
Yeah.
And knowing what he did to Martin, those other kids, and so they." Take out the button and they put it on the table.
And Penny's like, let me see that button.
Yeah, but they're like, well, we don't know what we're going to do. Like, we shouldn't really touch it. Like, it's dangerous. It could take you anywhere. And Penny's like, no. Listen. I've been studying with Mayakovsky. I know how to handle my shit. I know where to go.
Dick again.
Stupid ass. I love him so much.
Dumb ass. Don't touch the button.
He's like, you guys don't hear it? Like, there's a noise coming from it. And they're like, are you sure you should touch it? And he touches it.
And whoop.
And he travels.
Away he goes.
Yep.
And then Quentin is just mad. And here's the reason why. Quentin is, I think, more mad of Penny for less mad of touching the button and more mad that Penny gets to go to Fillory before Quentin does.
We don't know if he goes to
Fillory. Well, that's where the button takes you, right? That was the whole point.
It takes you somewhere.
It takes you to Fillory. That's my guess.
Yes.
But a good cliffhanger.
Yeah.
To leave on.
Yeah, where did Penny go?
Where did Penny go? Yeah. Lost Penny.
Well,
first we lost the button, then we lost the penny.
Well, before we get into our reviews, I want to read a little bit of stuff.
What do you mean?
So, we don't know how to do guests yet. We're trying to figure it out. But my friend Key had some thoughts, TM, about this episode? Yes, and they're like, let me be a guest, and I'm like, we don't know how to do the guest thing, but write it down. So, they wrote down the stuff.
What's their name again?
Key.
Okay.
Or Ambrosia or Ambrosius. Very good names. But Key thoughts about episode 9. It's about the darkness, baby. It's all about Elliot, though, by the way.
This all these quotes?
Yes.
All right, so go ahead and read those things.
Quote the Key about Elliot's reactions in this episode. Elliot seems to know exactly how to act in this situation, as in, like, he has been in situations like this before. He knows not to drink the tea. He knows how to get out of the restraints. He knows not to overact when Prudence does it, because it will set her off, and he knows that. Also, after Alice and Elliot get out of that room, they are out of the entire house very quickly, and I think that is due to Elliot. Life ain't fair. Again, Midwestern accent slip. Shout out to Hale. We love it. And then the entire part where he snaps at Alice sounds like how he would be yelled at by his parents.
Oh, yeah. I think he totally also, relates.
Quote the key. Also, I think that Elliot snaps at Alice that way that he does because it comes from a place of pain, because he was not saved from the same situation that he was in, and he almost suffered the same fate as those kids. It's hurtful in more ways than one to him.
Yeah.
So that's the good key analysis.
Yeah, key. Great observation.
Shout out to Key. Yeah, we love Key. We love your analysis.
Good analysis.
It's about the darkness, baby. It's about the outfits. It's about Mowgli styling Elliot to wear dark clothes when he's feeling emotional turmoil. Which is why all of season 5 he's wearing black. Thank you.
So hang on a second. So if you have some thoughts about an episode, an upcoming episode.
DM me, but please make it kind of short.
Yeah, keep it short. We don't want to read your whole unified field theory on something about on the magicians. But that said, we would love to hear your thoughts. So go ahead and reach out to us. So first of all, before we give our DM information away.
It's just our normal.
I know.
We have to rate.
We got to build it up. We got to rate the episode. So you go first. How many moths would you rate this episode?
3.5.
3.5?
Out of 5.
Really? Why?
I don't like seeing people being traumatized. Okay. And there's also suicide.
Yes.
And, you know, fucking molestation and, like, CSA in this episode. And also, this character who commits suicide is a queer woman.
Yep.
And, you know, it's a bad time all around.
Right.
And also, I don't like seeing Elliot sad.
Okay. All right.
And I don't like seeing Quentin sad either.
I think those are all fair points, and I don't like seeing any of those things either. However...
But I will say, actually, I'll change it. It's like a 3.8, because...
What is an eighth of a moth?
It's a little bit of its butt.
That's eight. It would be, I guess it would be...
A little bit of butt eighths, and an antenna.
Eight tenths of a moth. That's more. That's like too. That's just like a wing pulled off.
Yeah.
So it's a three and a wingless.
The extra points is because I really, really enjoy the different types of like snappy magic that you see in this episode. Mm-hmm. Get to see a whole bunch of cool practical effects.
Mm-hmm.
You get to see some cool like actual digital effects as well.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a fun time for magic in this episode, but it's also not a great time for the emotional well-being of our characters.
All right. Fair enough.
It's your turn.
Oh, it's my turn? Well, thank you. I was waiting for that. So, all that unpleasantness aside, right? I agree. Those are all very unpleasant topics. But then again, it is fiction.
I am aware.
And I am going to give this episode a 5.
Ah.
I might even give it a 5.1.
That's not allowed.
Because, there was a lot of interesting, like, fillery, like real fillery and fake fillery, you know, Narnia, like, you know, this is all based on Narnia, right? So the whole thing about C.S. Lewis having the kids come and stay with him are similar to that. So no, I'm not, don't make that face. I'm not implying that C.S. Lewis did bad stuff, but like, I liked that kind of like the way that the story is bridging the gap between reality and fiction, right? Uh-huh. I love the ghost stuff. The ghost stuff was great. Whoever the director was for this episode, you didn't pay attention to that.
I don't.
They did. You got to start writing that stuff down. They did a wonderful job. There were so many great shots. There was so much great, like, horror, like, the way that the horror was shot. Like, some of it was a little tropey, you know, like the ballerina and the porcelain dolls and all
that.
But that was part of the fun of it, right? Like, mm-hmm. You knew that they were kind of playing with the genre.
Yeah.
I thought everybody did a wonderful job acting. I really liked the subplot with Julia and Victoria? Kira? Different character. Kira, I thought that, even though it was very sad, I thought it was great.
Yeah.
And a nice little blip of just seeing another type of magician. And I thought that, like I said, the magic was great. The fire magic and Hale's electricity supervillain magic.
Yes.
And there was just, it was a lot of really...
Not the character.
No, well, we don't know. maybe Hale Appelman does know how to do that. We don't know. Maybe they're saving money by hiring real magicians. But yeah, I thought that the effects were great. The story was great. It moved the plot forward. The characters were great. And like I said, even Penny, even though he's the antagonist. And I, like I said, I would watch a whole show of like magic using Ghostbusters. I think that that would be, particularly with those kind of character archetypes, I think that it was great. So there we go. 5.1 for me. That's like a moth with a third antenna on its head.
You took part of my moth.
Yeah, I did. I grafted it onto my moth instead.
And made a little beast moth. Today is the day that the album Peaches and Plums came out by Lauren Feller.
Congratulations.
Feller. Yeah, it's really cool. There's 7 songs, and they're all really, really good.
And they're magicians related.
You can buy it on Bandcamp to support Lauren, or you can like stream it on Spotify or any kind of music streaming service. I have been locked in a 48-hour Peaches and Plums lockdown, only listening to that music today. And I even had it early, and I was still listening to it all day today.
Yeah, I've heard some of it. It's good.
It's very good. And
Lauren's, you did the cover.
I did the cover.
Beautiful cover.
But it's a really good album, and you should go buy it and support Lauren, because, you know, it's pandemic.
Support creators.
Support creators.
Exactly. Speaking of supporting creators, so where can we find you online, Evelyn?
I'm at wow_then on Twitter and at fishydoros on Instagram. And where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Mighty Bedbug. You can find me on Instagram at Mighty Bedbug. You can find me on Facebook, or you can even go to my Patreon. I have a Patreon, Scott Rogers Designer. Just look up Scott Rogers with board games, I guess, Patreon. And my Patreon, we do all types of fun stuff. I have videos of board games, and I have behind the scenes of how to do board game stuff. And I also have free print and play games. So if you like, well, not free, you have to obviously be a patron, but you know what I mean? They're there. They're exclusive. How about that? Well, it's kind of a tough time for everybody right now, so you don't have to do a Patreon. But if you know somebody who is fabulously wealthy and wants to support a board game designer, it'd be much appreciated.
Jeff Bezos, hit us up.
Exactly.
Share your wealth.
Yeah, somebody rich. Somebody rich out there has got to be listening to us, right? Oh, speaking of all of you wonderful people listening to us, we love getting your reviews. We've started to get some reviews.
Yeah.
And we also have live tweets about the...
shout out to Mai
again?
Yeah,
they did.
She did one.
She did two now, right?
Well, she called you out in your bad taste in fashion.
No, the suspenders are not good.
Suspenders are good.
They're not good. Not good on me, anyway.
Well, that's you.
I'm not a tall, skinny person. Yeah. So, anyway, we love getting your reviews. We love getting your feedback. Bard Swan also left a very great...
that's Mom.
Yeah, I know. That's Mom. I was trying to be cool about it. But yes, your mother left a really nice review of our show. She's our number one fan. She will eventually be on the show.
Yeah.
But anyway...
You'll see how... measured we are with the chaos, and I'm excited to have another person on my side for my opinions.
I can't wait. Anyway, but we love having you listening to the show, so thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
And we'll
see you.
No, you'll hear us next time on Fillory and Father. Yay! Yeah. We did it.
We sort of
another did it. Episode in the can.
Can?
That's what they call it.
Bag.
No, this is not a... Why would you put a podcast in a bag? All right. Bye.
Bye.